Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
My man TJ back there, we were together at the Billy Graham headquarters yesterday. We saw 13 young people respond to the gospel yesterday. And man, we thank God for everyone. Now, on the video you saw when you were coming in, there's an event we're doing next summer. 50 years ago, the Jesus people, there was a Jesus people movement. A bunch of hippies getting saved. A bunch of people who thought they knew what it was to get high. Experience the high of the Holy Spirit. And it was wild. Like, it was wild. You should read about it. It was wild. Like, there's stories of people coming home from work and seeing a bunch of people, like, in their pool in their backyard. And they're, like, about to call the cops. Like, what are you guys doing back here? And they're like, well, we just came to Jesus, man, and we felt like we should be baptized. And so they would literally like, jump the fence and, like, be dunking in the backyard in the pool, you know? And it was called the Jesus people, and it was like this wild thing. The largest gathering of the Jesus people happened in 1972 down in Texas. They called it Explo. There were 70,000 young people traveled from literally almost every state. People traveled from countries around the world, and the whole purpose of it was to be equipped and unleashed to share the gospel. Now, the reason that gathering has significance for me was some of those kids actually came from North Dakota. And they came on like old church buses and vans and whatever. And you guys ever ride in like a church van? Anybody ever almost die in a church van? There's a lot of like, help me Jesus prayers. The youth pastors driving us. They look like they're 14. They don't even know how to drive. But listen, they came from North Dakota and they came and really got like equipped and unleashed. They went back to North Dakota and started planning things on campuses in North Dakota, and one of those events in the 70s happened at the University of North Dakota at the Chester Fritz Auditorium. Yes, it was called the Chester Fritz Auditorium. It just sounds boss, right? Chester, that's right. And they brought in this speaker from Expo 72 named Josh McDowell. He was young at the time, and he gave the gospel that night. And that night, my dad got saved. He came down front. And so, like, I've been praying for years, God, do it again. Do it again, do it again, do it again. And so next summer, 50 years to the date, we're booking that same stadium. And we're saying, God, would you fill it with a generation to be equipped to share the gospel? It's kind of the purpose of my message this morning. I believe that we have lost our message. I believe that we have lost our main point. We as the church, we've gotten off message. I was thinking this morning, imagine if you, 20 years down the line, imagine you find something that looks like this, and you're like, what is it? You know, and you don't know what it is, but you find the cord, and you're trying to figure out what it is and what it does, and somebody tells you, man, this is what they used to call a cell phone. You know, 20 years, we'll probably be like talking right into our thumb or something. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what'll be going on, but they'll be like, this was a phone. You're like, what did it do? You know, like, well, what the purpose of this device is to connect you to other people. I mean, imagine if you had a phone and you never used it to connect with others. Imagine if you had a phone and you never made a call. Imagine if you had a phone and you never used it to shoot an email or a text. Like, imagine, like, you'd be like, what's the purpose of this? I mean, if I didn't know that, if somebody didn't tell me that, like, I would think, oh, man, this is, like, the coolest coaster ever. Or like, I don't know, what would you use this for? You'd be like, man, I can make like crazy like reflections into people's eyes. Any guys ever do that when you see like the sun coming in, you aim it at somebody's eyes? Never mind. That's just only those of us who are really like, you know, twisted think of those things. Like, I'm gonna get, what can I do? But I just think like, what would you use it for? And I'm just saying like, the purpose of this device is to be filled with power and then be used to connect to other people. And I would say in the same way, like you and I, like we were made to be connected and filled with power and connected to other people, but not just any people, people who need the power that we have. Like you were made to follow Jesus, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and to reach people who currently do not know Jesus. Like, that literally is the mission. And I think so many believers today have forgotten the purpose that Jesus saved them for. Like, Jesus didn't save you so that you could, like, just hang with Christians the rest of your life. He didn't save you so that you could get a PhD in judgment. He's like, everybody else I'm calling to make disciples, but you, I want you to judge people. I can see you're good. You're good. Can you help me, especially on social media? I need you to troll people for me. Give them a hard time. Yes, Lord, I will go. You see, people like, Jesus calls to follow him. Luke 15, I want you to open up your Bibles with me. Luke 15. I got two purposes for my life. Number one is to preach the gospel. I'm an evangelist. That means I preach the gospel. That means I tell people about Jesus. When I was 4, I tried to lead people in my neighborhood to Jesus. When I was 6, I tried to lead my baseball team to Jesus. When I was 7, 8, I started to think I wanted to be a basketball player, Michael Jordan. I was like, man, I want to be like Michael Jordan, even though my mom's 5'3", my dad's 5'8". I'm from rural North Dakota. I was going to be the greatest basketball player that ever lived. I prayed every morning and every night I'd be over 6 feet tall because I looked at mom and dad and I said, I need a miracle. Help me, God. God didn't answer that prayer how I hoped, but I still can rock the J's. And I still can declare unashamedly that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player that ever lived. Not even a contest. Everything else is heresy. Some of y'all LeBron fans, come on. Stacking the deck. Some of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. Listen, I started to write letters trying to lead Michael Jordan to Jesus when I was a little boy. Now, I jokingly will tell people I had to go to church. Check this out. I had to go to church to learn not to share my faith. Because when I was a kid, I thought everybody shared their faith. Like, I thought, this is Jesus. This is heaven and hell. He's the only way. I got the ticket. I can give others away. It seemed pretty simple. Like, you're telling me everybody doesn't talk about this? I mean, can we just say this out front? Like, that's really weird that we don't talk about it. Like, it is really weird. You know, I had a buddy recently last fall. There was this car wash spot. You guys got these really nice car wash places? You guys know what I'm talking about? Where you can get, like, a really cool car wash, and they even have, like, membership programs. Does anybody in here have a membership to a car wash place? You do? He doesn't want to raise his hand. Somebody in the back? All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Let me walk up my evangelist calling. I see that hand. There's like 87,000 hands right now, just if you're wondering. It's what we call evangelastic, okay? But these car wash places, my buddy, the car wash place opens. He's my neighbor. And the first so many people got a free unlimited car wash for a month. You got one car wash, you get unlimited for a month. And my buddy tells me, he's like, it was so cool. They were giving away free car washes for a month. Anybody who came for the first week. I'm like, that's amazing. I got to get over there. When is this? He's like, it was last week. I'm like, why do you even tell me that? You're just mean is what you are. You are mean. You are rubbing it in my face that you get the free car wash. And I'm just like, man, how many of us have this unlimited pass and we're keeping it to ourselves? And then I got all these people saying, like, no, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not one of those Christians that shares. I'm not one of those Christians. I know some of those Christians. I'm not one of those Christians. But, you know, the last 18 months, I used to think I kind of maybe bought that a little bit. And now I don't buy it at all anymore. You know why? Because the last 18 months, like, everybody's become an evangelist for something the last 18 months. Everybody. Man, you're sure an evangelist for your politics. I mean, you're sure. I mean, you won't be quiet. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You're sure an evangelist for what you think about this pandemic. People thinking, put on your mask, put on your mask, put on your mask. Here's how you put on a mask. How could you not put on a mask? What are you thinking not putting on a mask? It's just, okay, I get it. Some of you guys, why would you wear a mask? Why would you wear a mask? Why would you wear a mask? Vaccinate, unvaccinate, justice. I mean, everybody's an evangelist for something. I'm saying, where are the evangelists of Jesus? Because if we're the church of Jesus, then we should look like Jesus. We should talk like Jesus. We should act like Jesus. The fact that we can define Christians in our culture by what we're against, that is a serious problem. Luke 15, Jesus is on the scene. It says, the tax collectors and sinners, verse 1, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. I love that first verse. Tax collectors and sinners are gathering around to hear Jesus. When is the last time the tax collectors and sinners gathered around the church? When is the last time the tax collectors and the sinners said, we got to get there because they love us? When is the last time the tax collectors and the sinners were sitting in your house? Have they ever been in your house? You mean people who don't know Jesus? They might say bad words. They might take my silverware. You mean the people who don't know Jesus? I mean, what if they posted a picture that they were with me? I mean, God forbid, right? I mean, somebody might actually call you a friend of sinners. Jesus is on the scene. Tax collectors and sinners are gathering around to hear him. You got three audiences. You got the tax collectors, you got the sinners, and you got the religious folk. It says the Pharisees and the teachers of law are there, and they're muttering. It says they muttered. This man welcomes sinners. He eats with sinners. This dude is hanging with sinners. You think this guy's so big, so holy, so powerful? He's hanging with strippers. You know, I was in college and that was awesome. I was praying. We were in a prayer group. That was so funny. I was in a prayer group and we were asking God that he would give us people in our life that need Jesus. I got this prayer card on your seat. And we didn't have a fancy prayer card like this. I just asked my mom for like 20 of her recipe cards. And we were reading in the book of Acts. We would read one chapter in the book of Acts and then we would pray. And we said, man, we want to pray. Like we said, we've all been a part of a prayer group that never prays. You know, it just turns into like Christian gossip club. And then it's like, oh, shoot, it's been 55 minutes. Let's close in prayer. You know, we're like, hey, no, we want to pray, so we're just going to come together and pray. We would read one chapter from the book of Acts, and then we would pray. We just cry out to God. But we're like, as we're praying in the book of Acts, we're like, God, using these people, lost people are always coming to Jesus. So let's pray for people in our life who need Jesus. And so we made it a goal of 5, and we got fancier later on. We even got color copies like this. This is like super nice. It's like 5 cents. Write down the names of friends, family members that need Jesus. So this is your challenge. This is a gift. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. This is like Oprah, but not quite. Write down the names of people in your life that need Jesus. Pray for them every day. Pray that God will use your life to impact their life for the gospel. Does anybody know anybody who doesn't know Jesus in their life? Does anybody know anybody? If you don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus, then I don't understand where you live. But if you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus, I want to ask you, do you think they need prayer? Do you think it would be good if you prayed for them regularly? So take these cards, put them somewhere you're going to see them, okay? Put it on the dash of your car or put it on your fridge or in your Bible, whichever one you open more. This is the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just, listen, you got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. So pray. Pray, pray. We're praying. We're asking God to move. We're asking God to give us opportunities. There's a girl in our prayer group, and she's like really convicted. Her name is Jenna. And she says, man, I don't have enough friendships with lost people. And she's like, just being real. Like, I feel like I got saved. She had a radical conversion, was drinking, partying, sleeping around, whatever, came to Jesus. And then it's like the church rescued her from people who need Jesus. It's interesting. It's like, man, hey, you had all this story and relationship that's so relevant for broken people. Let's keep you from them. And she's like convicted now. She's repenting. And we pray for her. God, would you give Jenna opportunities with people who need Jesus? Jenna comes to prayer group the next week. She says, guys, God has given me a vision. I'm supposed to be a missionary. We're like, Jenna, this is amazing. You're going to be a missionary? Where are you going to go? Like, Canada? They need Jesus up there. Are you going to Africa? Where are you going to go? And she's like, no, guys, every job is a missionary job if you know Jesus. And we're like, Jenna, who taught you that? She's like, Jesus. We're like, oh, yeah, cool. Where are you going to go work, Jenna? She's like, I'm going to go work at the Northern. Now, you guys don't know the reference. You didn't ever live probably in Fargo, North Dakota. But in Fargo, North Dakota, the Northern is our strip club. So Jenna's like, I'm going to go work at the strip club. And we're like, with all things to all people, Hosea. We're like, Jenna, I'm pretty sure you can't be a stripper. And she's like, you guys are idiots. She's like, I know I'm not going to be a stripper. She's like, I saw an ad for cooks at the Northern. She said, who's loving those girls? And we're like, Jenna, you can't go work. You can't. Jenna, there's sinners there. And so we didn't know what to do. We're like, Jenna, we got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. Don't tell your mom or your dad, but let's pray. Side note, parents, is our goal as a parent to protect our kids from sinners or to disciple them in such a way that they are rescuing sinners? So we start going and prayer walking outside the Northern, dead of winter in North Dakota. It is freezing cold. I'm talking negative 10. I'm talking your snot freezes cold. Like, we were doing face masks long before y'all, okay? I'm talking like we were way ahead of the curve, right? And we're like prayer walking, and we're like asking God, and we're prayer walking and just asking God, and we're like, we're praying around it. We're gonna pray on this thing 7 times. And if the walls don't fall down, we're gonna send Jenna in. And so Jenna got a job at the strip club, and she come back some weeks overwhelmed, just crying. You can't believe how dark it is, how broken it is. I want to quit. And I just want to say this. Some of you guys are working at a job where you're surrounded by lost people, and you need people praying for you. Because right now, you're becoming like those lost people instead of winning those lost people to Jesus. Because you need to unleash and realize that you are a missionary, and missionaries need prayer support. Like, in everybody here, unless you're working at a church, and even church people need prayer, but you need prayer. Who's praying for you? Who's asking God to move? Who's asking God to protect you? Is there accountability in your life? Jenna's like, I want to quit. We're like, Jenna, you asked God for this. You can't quit. Too often we quit. We want to quit the very thing that we ask God for. I mean, some of y'all need to remember, you prayed for that job. You prayed for those kids. Dear God, these kids. You prayed for those kids. You are living in the answer to your prayers, and you're complaining. Jenna's ready to quit. We're like, Jenna, you can't quit. We're laying hands on her. We're praying for her. We're like, you know what's hard, but you can do this. The Holy Spirit's in you. Let's go. Jenna keeps pressing in. You know what? Those girls started coming to our prayer meeting. Those girls started coming to our church. And let me tell you, they did not know how to dress properly. But you know what? God had already put his love in our hearts for them. So we're not like, ooh, how could you wear that? Too many Christians are judging and judging and judging and judging and judging and judging. I just want to remind you, like, don't be surprised when a sinner sins. Don't be surprised when people who don't know Jesus act like it. They don't know Jesus. I mean, shame on us. We know Jesus and we still sinning. Busy judging them. Jesus is hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. The religious people are there judging him, judging them, judging everything. King Judge, here I am, welcoming sinners. Jesus says, let me tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about my heart. He says this, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it? And then when he finds it, doesn't he joyfully put it on his shoulders and go home? And doesn't he then call his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, I think this generation, I think so many in our generation, we've been taught how to worship. But we haven't been taught what it actually means to worship Jesus. I mean, we got a whole bunch of people that worship. They worship the feels. They worship the emotion. They worship the goosebumps. They worship, I mean, it's really not that different than the high you got at the club when you were 18, 19. It's just a different high. It's a different buzz. And you know it because Christians are still doing the same things Monday to Friday than they were when they were in the club. They're still looking at porn. They're still messing around. Divorce rates are still out of control. Materialism, selfishness, judgmental spirit. I mean, you know if you've been worshiping Jesus by what you do after you've been with Jesus. I mean, there's a reason that those religious leaders, when they called those unschooled, ordinary men before him, when they said, but they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So have we been with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Would people in your life know that you know Jesus? If being a Christian became a crime, would there be any evidence to convict you? Other than your attendance at a few services, does your checking account say that Jesus is your treasure? Does your time say Jesus is your treasure? Do your relationships say Jesus is your treasure? Or does your life look like you are the treasure? You see, Jesus, he says, there's 100 sheep, you lose one. He says, I'm the one that leaves the 99. So my title for this message is Leaving the 99. Leaving the 99. Leaving the 99. You are called to leave the 99. You are called to leave the 99. You are called to leave the 99. Now, what I'm talking about isn't the leaving the 99 that happens among 20-year-olds as they are literally leaving the church in droves saying, man, I don't want this. I'm talking about leaving the 99 in terms of you are at the church to be sent out to rescue the lost, to come back and be filled up again, challenged again, to go back out and reach the lost, to love them, to win them, to come back, be held accountable, be strengthened, then go back and reach the lost and win them over, and then come back and be challenged and discipled again, and then go back and reach the lost and love them and minister to them and give your life for them, and come back and be poured into and prayed for and recharged, and then go back. Man, you are made to go. You are made to go. You are made to go, and you're made to be sent and filled. There's three challenges I want to give you here, though. Leaving the 99, number one, means a reset of your hearing. 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 Can you hear me? A reset of your hearing. Are you listening to his voice? You see, we got too many sheep that are busy following sheep. We got too many sheep saying, what are those sheep doing? I wonder what they're doing. What about those sheep over there? There's a really pretty flock of sheep over there. Man, that sheep's Instagram page is awesome. I want a vacation with that sheep. Holy, look at that sheep's kicks. Whoa. Are those Balenciagas? Those are fire. Look at that sheep. That sheep, that sheep's leading a bunch of other sheep, and there's so many sheep. Look at that sheep. Say, holy sheep. There's really, Jesus uses sheep because sheep are dumb. Like, and if you follow another sheep, then you kind of dumb. You know, you weren't made for sheep. You were made for a shepherd. I mean, this is true for all of us. Like, we are called. The call for every Christian is to follow the shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know how you know if you're following the shepherd? If you're doing the things that he did. You know how you know if you're not following the shepherd? If you're not doing the things that he did. It's pretty obvious. Jesus actually says in John 15, he says, your goal is to be so close to me. He talks about being a shepherd and sheep. He talks about being a vine and the branches. He says, if you abide and remain in me, you will bear fruit. Amen. You say, I'm following Jesus and there's no fruit? I'm sorry. You're not following Jesus. No fruit, no root. No fruit, no root. You may be connected to a vine, it ain't his vine. I'm telling you, man, there's sheep following sheep, there's sheep leading sheep, there's sheep distracted by sheep, and then there's a shepherd. Too many of us, we've been following the sheep for so long, we didn't even know the shepherd left months ago. There's a mission, there's a world, there's lost people, there's heaven and hell, there's miracles happening, there's salvations happening, there's breakthrough happening, there's strongholds that are being overcome, there's kingdoms that are being overturned, Jesus' name is being lifted high, and you're busy following sheep, being depressed, being discouraged, thinking nothing's happening. The shepherd is on the move, my friend. You got to reset your hearing. You say, man, God, I got to hear you. I want to hear you. How do we hear? We hear by getting in the word. We hear by getting on our knees. We hear by changing our inputs. Man, I'm telling you, this phone is awesome, but if you don't plug it in, it can't do nothing it was made to do. You are no different than your phone. How many times you got to plug your phone in a day? Every night, do it. Probably in the car, you do it. You think your phone needs more power than you do? I mean, every time when I plug this thing and I say, man, God, I need you. How much time does it take to charge a phone? You think your phone needs more time with the charger than you need with your Savior? Are you full of power? Are you full of the Spirit? Do you know Jesus? Are you following him? Are you running after what he's running after? Or are you celebrating and comfortable in the 99 club? Because Jesus says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one lost sinner who comes to Jesus than over the 99 righteous who don't need a Savior, who don't need Jesus. They already know Jesus. In other words, we could be having an amazing worship service in here. Man, I got my man TJ. He's leading it. You know, we got Mav City comes in the house. We got Elevation Worship comes in the house. Chris Tomlin shows up. This is how great is our God. Michael Louis Smith comes in with the Friends medley. I got, you know, man, we got, who are they? Man, Mary comes in. And we're breaking off the shackles off our feet so we can dance. Kirk Franklin comes in. Do you want a revolution? And we're in here. Even the white people. You know, we're doing it. We're going for it. And Jesus is like, man, you could be having the most, man, insane worship set, so much power, standing room only, and I want you to know that those two people down the block bowing their knee, you want to know where I'm getting more glory down there? And we're busy thinking about all of this stuff for us. How can we make it more comfortable for the 99? How can we have better music for the 99? Man, we need better 99 clubs. Like, we need better 99 programming. Like, we need 99 shirts. Like, let's have 99 shirts. Like, let's have a whole academic curriculum for 99. Like, let's just protect all of our lives from ever having to love the people that Jesus died for. Oh, wait. Number one, a reset of hearing. Number two, a reset of your comfort. Reset of your comfort. You say, Nick, what do you mean, reset of my comfort? I mean, if it was comfortable, you would have already been doing this. Like, if it was comfortable for you to be building bridges and loving your enemy and loving your neighbor, you would already be doing it. But you're not. Because it's hard. But you know what? That's okay. Because where it's hard, that means you need God. And the righteous, oh, by the way, will live by faith. Man, you are supposed to live a life that puts you in positions where you actually need God. Like, that's why Matthew 6, Jesus talks about giving, praying, and fasting. All of these things are antidotes to building your kingdom here. You give and you give and you give, not a budgeted gift, not a minimal gift. You give following Jesus, who gave everything, by the way. The tithe is an Old Testament principle. In the New Testament, the principle is follow Jesus. How much did he give? Jesus says, when you fast, why do I fast? I fast because I want to remind my body that Jesus is my food, is my sustenance, that he's the living water, that he's the bread of life. And man, better to be sleep deprived or food deprived than God deprived. See, fasting is about feasting. Fasting is about tasting. Praying is about hearing. It's about silencing the voices I turn to say, I want to reset to hear your voice, God. See, all of the Christian life is going to war with the things of this world and the things of your flesh so that you can join the shepherd as he goes for the 99 and he leaves to go after the one. Reset of your comfort. Last one, reset of your tribe. Reset of your tribe. See, this is where it just gets crazy. It gets so crazy because those people you used to judge become the best friends in your life. I mean, some of y'all need to get to be friends with some crazy, flaming Democrats. I'm talking about like good friends. Some of y'all, you need to get to be friends with some crazy right-wing Republicans. Some of y'all need to get to be friends with some really outspoken LGBTQ folk. Some of y'all need to get to be friends with people who are Muslims. Say, hey, come over. What's your name? What's your story? I love you. I'm here for you. I mean, those people we're so busy judging, God loves them. He loves them. Yeah, I've been praying for the kid in my neighborhood who mows my lawn. And you say, man, this preacher's make too much money. He's got somebody mowing his lawn. No, I have him mowing my lawn because I used to be the kid that mowed the lawns. I used to be the kid with the lemonade stand. I was the kid that was hustling through the neighborhood. And now I got to support those kids. And this kid, I've been praying for him. His name's John. This week, John came to Jesus and got baptized. Now, not everybody in my life that I'm trying to minister to are coming to Jesus. My father-in-law, we've been praying for him for 20 years. His name is Merlin. Pray for him. Merlin. You'll never forget it. He's the only Merlin you know. Pray for him. He needs Jesus. I shared the gospel when I asked for permission to marry my wife. And he said, he gave me one yes and one no. It was yes, I can marry her. No, I'm not going to be a Christian. I've been at this for 20 years. I'm like, God, save his soul. Like, I talked to my wife this holiday. I'm like, honey, maybe we should move. Like, maybe we should move and live near him if that's what it's going to take. Like, I mean, I just think, guys, like, God, he is so after the lost. And there is so much purpose when you join God's heart and God's mission. I mean, isn't this true of your life? Like, when you help others, you stop being so consumed with yourself. Like, that's why it's like literally an emotional condition when you serve and help. You're not so depressed or discouraged anymore because you take your eyes off you. This is a biblical principle. Like, the more your faith becomes about giving your faith away, the more dynamic your faith will become. And so I'm before you this morning pleading with you, saying there's people in your life who don't know Jesus. They live next to you right now. They don't know Jesus. That means if they die this year, they're going to go to hell. Like, that should do something to us if we know Jesus. If it doesn't do something to us, then we don't know Jesus. I mean, this last part is about a reset of your tribe, where those people become your people and you're saying, man, God, I want to join your mission. I want to say yes to you, God. Because I want to remind you, this is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus left comfort. He left privilege and treasure and everything that he had, and he became nothing. And he was hated, and he was abused, and he was beaten. He was crucified. The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. And he did that for you, but not just for you, because he wants to use your life. And so I'm just wondering, is there anybody in here today that's like, man, God, I want to be in. I want to be a part of this mission. I want to be a part of this movement. This is the Jesus I signed up to follow. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And man, I believe this. There's some people in this room who need to get right with God. You came in here and you're struggling with some sin, some, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. You don't need to name it. I'm not here to shame you. I am here to say that today is your day of salvation. You've been carrying it around long enough. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't define you by all the junk in your life. He loves you and he's calling you. And so if you're here today and you know you need to get right with God, I want you to put your hand in the air right now, and you're just here saying, man, I need to get right with God today. I came in here, I need to get right with God. I need forgiveness. I need a second chance. You can put your hand down. I'm gonna invite you to stand in just a minute, but you're not gonna stand alone. If you're here and you're a Christian, and you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, but you are not living intentionally for the lost, maybe you've never even shared your faith before, but you're here today and you're challenged and you're like, God, I want you to use me to reach people who need you. If that's you, put your hand in the air. All right, there's a ton of people raising their hand. If either of those is you, I just want you to stand up right now. This isn't a show, but you're just standing. Either of those is you. You're just standing and saying, God, I need you. I'm here. You stand. There's a ton of hands. Listen, you say, why would you call me publicly? Because Jesus called people publicly, okay? Jesus called people publicly. Just stand right now, wherever you are. You just stand up. Jesus said, man, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. You just stand up where you are and you just say, man, God, I need you. Look around, man. If you haven't stood yet and you're wondering, am I going to look weird? No, there's a lot of weird people just like you. There's only weird people in here. Hallelujah. So as you're standing, you're just saying, God, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your power. I need your boldness. I need more of you. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I've been trying it on my own, and it ain't it. So right now, we're just standing and saying, God, we need you to use us in our neighborhoods and at our jobs and our schools. We need you to help us to not keep this to ourselves. God, we need you to help us to make it weird that people don't talk about you. That would be weird. That it wouldn't be weird when people are witnessing and bold, but God, that it would be weird when we're silent. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.